God's word just before I think about speaking from it. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, tonight there is absolutely no doubt people are going to be offended by what they hear. But we make no apologies in Shiloh Christian Fellowship for your word. We're not prepared to compromise it. We're not prepared, Lord God, to pollute it or to dilute it just because we don't want to offend people. Lord, if your word offends people, they'll get over it, Lord. But we ask, Almighty God, please, that your word would do its work. It's not about what I have to say, Father. It's about what you have to say. And we pray, Almighty God, please, that the Spirit of the living God would move upon our hearts and minds now and give us the ability to humbly receive what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Watch out, there's a thief about. Is Satan robbing you? So far we've been trying to highlight the fact Satan does exist. Whether you believe in him or not, Satan exists. It was like the Lord one night telling me in a dream, I am the Lord, whether people believe in me or not. I am the Lord, and I am coming back. Now go and tell people this truth. So the Word of God makes it very, very clear to us that Satan is real. Is this working, Keith? Is it? Doesn't seem to be down this end, but that's okay. Satan is real. We highlighted that. Then we also drew to the attention of people last week that Satan will always steal. And the most fundamental thing that he will steal will be the Word of God. And Keith spoke on the parable of the sower and talked about how the Word of God was being sown and it was falling onto different types of soils or areas. And the enemy was in like Flynn, stealing it as best he could. And if he couldn't steal it straight away, then he caused it to be choked by the cares of the world, or he caused it to land on stony hearts and stony ground, so that even if it did try to take root, it was never going to get anywhere because the heart wasn't right. And of course then there was the soil that was the good soil, the good heart that was willing to receive the word of God. But Satan's always working to steal away God's word. And you mark my words tonight on the subject that I've got, he is definitely, without any shadow of doubt, going to steal this away. And he's going to say, don't listen to that buck agent. And people are going to be running out tonight at the end of the night saying, did you hear him saying bad words? But again, we make no apologies. We do not sanitize what the Word of God says. When we have to tell you what it says, we will tell you what it says, warts and all. But to begin, the people and the situations that I'm about to mention, please listen to this. What I'm about to mention, these people and these situations are very, very real. But I've changed the names and slightly changed some of the circumstances so that you can't identify anyone in particular. But these are very real. Andy, obviously not his real name. Andy killed his first victim, a 91-year-old man, in 1982. In 2010, Andy said, I just felt the urge to kill again. And so I rapped on a couple of my neighbors' doors. I got invited in and I hacked them to death and left them lying in their bath. Robert stabbed his victim 35 times. 25 years later, he killed an 89-year-old woman. Brian beat and strangled an elderly female Sunday school teacher. 27 years later, he beat his pensioner neighbor unconscious, then strangled him with a TV cable before he went down to the pub to meet up with his mates. Leon killed his first victim in 1989 after she taunted him about his relationship. In 2009, He murdered his partner by breaking his neck. These are genuine, gruesome crimes. But what makes them more shocking is that the culprits were already convicted murderers. And they had been released from prison and killed again. Now, I could rhyme off horrific scenarios where convicted sex offenders reoffended once they were released from prison. And thank God that recidivism, that means reoffending, that the recidivism rates among convicted murderers and sex offenders is actually quite low. But nonetheless, some of these people reoffend when they're released from prison. When murderers or sex offenders reoffend, the media coverage and the public anger that follows is often profound. People will shout, "Life should mean life! Life should mean life!" Or lock them up and throw away the key. Let the victims' families have 5 minutes with them and they'll sort them out. Personally, I've been visiting prisoners for over 40 years. And I'm on record saying, and in fact, I'm so glad that one of them phoned me last night, and he's a murderer. And I said, "Listen, I'm saying this tomorrow night," and he just laughed when he heard what I had to say, because he said to me, "Taddy, you told me that on the very first visit that you ever came to see me." So I'm visiting prisoners for over 40 years and on record for saying I 100% support capital punishment. I believe in the death penalty for convicted murderers, and I believe in chemical castration or psychosurgery for those who repeatedly commit sex offenders. Now, I was laughing when my mate phoned last night, because I actually said to him, "I'm so glad that you phoned, because I know somebody's going to gossip this back to you and say, see your man who comes up to visit you, he was out bragging about he supports capital punishment." And he just laughed. He says, "Tally, you told me that on the very first visit that you came to see me on." He says, "So I know that." He says, "You're entitled to your views." But imagine, you don't hear that too often. I believe in the death penalty for convicted murderers, and I believe in chemical castration or psychosurgery for those who repeatedly commit sex offences. And yet not all crimes meet the criteria for a death sentence or chemical or surgical interventions. But the perpetrators of these crimes, they rob people of their lives and of their childhood or their dignity. And in another sense, by their own hand, the perpetrators are actually robbed of freedom because of their actions. Now, you've got to understand what we said at the start of this series. Behind every wickedness, behind every evil, is Satan. And even though people commit these acts, they are accountable and answerable to God for them. But behind those acts, Satan is at work. He is behind every murder, every vile sex offense, every evil, every sin in this world. And as I said, yet those who commit them are accountable for them and are answerable to God. Satan is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He works to rob God of glory and rob people of the opportunity to know God and the love of God for them. And still, society continues to be scandalized when we hear of the repulsive reoffending by convicted murderers and sex offenders after they've been released from prison. Well, what about you tonight? And I don't want you to shout it out, but what about you? Do you get angry when you see the headlines in the papers or hear it on the news that a convicted murderer has been released and has murdered again? Or that a convicted sex offender has been released and has committed another terrible crime? Are you angry and annoyed when you hear things like this? Are you scandalized by the reports of reoffending by ex-prisoners. Let's read together Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to do the first 7 verses. Revelation, last book of the Bible, chapter 2, and the first 7 verses. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Words of Jesus, written by the Apostle John for the church in Ephesus. How many of you tonight, and you can put your hands up if you wish, how many of you tonight were absolutely scandalized by what I just read? We have a couple of people scandalized by it. A couple of people have seen what's going on here. If tomorrow's newspaper headline read, "Convicted murderer or convicted sex offender strikes again," you would probably be absolutely scandalized. And yet, when the Apostle John writes, as he does to the church in Ephesus, it just goes right over our heads. "Nevertheless," Jesus says, "nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." "Nevertheless, I have this against you." Read what he says to Ephesus. He really encourages them, because Jesus points out the very, very good things that he can see about them. But he said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Primarily, Jesus tells Christians in Ephesus that they had lost their hope in his return. And perhaps due to persecution and other matters, many had given up on Jesus. Many had given up on Christianity. Why are we scandalized by reoffending murderers and sex offenders, yet are not scandalized by those who give up on Jesus and the hope that is found in him? Tonight, you may have guessed, my subject is backsliders. And I want to explain, it is Satan who is robbing God and robbing them, the backsliders, of the promises of God and fellowship with him. What is a backslider? We use these terms, and we've all been talking in Shiloh about Christianese. You know, we get into all of this Christian language. Backslider is a term that people use, but what is a backslider? Well, the Bible uses the term backslider about people who, by faith in Jesus, have come to know God, but have allowed Satan and sin to take them away from him. Now, let me make this absolutely clear tonight. If you are in this hall, or if you're watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast, and you know that you're a backslider, you have allowed Satan and sin to lead you away from God. There is no other excuse. A backslider is any Christian who has allowed Satan and sin to take them away from the Lord. Hear this again. I'm going to drive this home because you're going to be shocked at what God has to say. A backslider is any Christian who has allowed Satan and sin to take them away from the Lord. Well, you may think, well, that doesn't sound as scandalous as some newspaper headlines. Well, God's word says differently. Like a dog returning to its vomit is a backslider, God says. Like a washed pig returning to wallow in shit is the backslider. That is how God's word describes it, but we sanitize it by using nice words. But God's word is clear. And if you think that's not strong enough, here is what God says, and I'm not going to apologize if you're offended. God's word says, like a whore who cannot be sexually satisfied, like a promiscuous slut, giving herself to anyone is how God's word describes the backslider. Check and see if what I'm saying is true. Trampling, this is the worst of all. This is how God speaks of the backslider. They are trampling the Son of God underfoot. They are treating as unholy the blood of the covenant that sanctified them. And they are insulting the Spirit of grace. Are you scandalized? Is this not scandalous? Do we entertain the thought that those who do such things, you know what, people like that shouldn't be saved at all? And yet, we all know a backslider. We all know backsliders. But we're not scandalized by what they do. The communities all around us are full of them. When we go out and do door-to-door evangelism, we get people all the time. I used to walk with Jesus. I used to be a Christian. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. We get all of that all the time when we go out doing evangelism. Backsliders, the communities around about us are full of them. Do you know that if all the backsliders returned to the Lord, churches in Bangor would be packed to capacity? But dare I say it, even churches have backsliders sitting in the midst of their congregations on a weekly basis. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. People who've left their first love, people who've allowed Satan and sin to take them away from the Lord, or have allowed their hearts to grow cold toward Jesus. And yet, we are not scandalized. Those who by faith in Jesus came to know God, for whatever reason, those who have allowed Satan and sin to take them away from the Lord, the Bible says, not Toddy Gordon, the Bible says they are like a dog returning to its vomit. They are like a washed pig returning to wallow in the muck. They're trampling the Son of God underfoot. They're treating as unholy the blood of the covenant that sanctified them. and they're insulting the Spirit of grace. They have left their first love. Whatever reason the backsliders have for turning their back on God and their love for Him to grow cold, behind that reason, Satan and sin have successfully been at work to take you away from God. Hear that tonight if you're a backslider. And you could be sitting here in this congregation and you know that your heart has grown cold towards Jesus. Whatever the backslider's reason is for turning their back on God and allowing their love for Him to grow cold, behind that reason, Satan and sin have successfully been at work to take you away from God. The thief, the father of lies, the murderer from the beginning has intentionally misled you away from God. Firstly, to rob God of glory. And secondly, to rob you of fellowship with Him. Please listen to what God's Word says. Backsliders need to take heed of what God's Word says, because He considers, even though we may not, God considers their backsliding as scandalous. As scandalous as we would consider ex-offenders getting out and re-offending, God considers the backslider's backsliding scandalous. And listen to what He says. Your own wickedness, your own backslidings, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of Me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Did you hear that? This is the Word of God. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of Me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Even though that thief, even though that liar Satan is behind your backslidings, you are still accountable and answerable to God for it. Backsliding is an evil and bitter thing in the eyes of God. However, and thank God there's an however tonight. However, there is a message of love and a message of compassion for the backslider tonight. And God wants you to hear this tonight if you are a backslider. God says this: return. Return, O backsliding children, for I am married to you, says the Lord. Hear that? Even though it is scandalous in the eyes of Almighty God, He says this: return, O backsliding children, you are still a child of God. He says, return, O backsliding children, for I am married to you, says the Lord. God's love for you has not changed, and it never, ever will. It's that thief, Satan, and sin that have taken you away from God and His love for you. Don't let Satan rob you any longer. Listen again to what God says to you, the backslider. Return. Return, O backsliding children, for I am married to you, says the Lord. It is time to return to your first love. Repent. Turn around from the world and all that it offers you, which is fleeting. Turn around and turn back to God, and you will find His arms wide open to receive you. Why? Because He loves you. Because His love for you has not changed, and because He says, I am married to you. Christian, let me ask you, are you scandalized by backsliding? That doesn't mean, are you judging people? It just means, are you scandalized? See, if you're scandalized by it, you will fervently pray for those backsliders, that God will correct them and bring them back. But let me ask, Christian, are you scandalized by backsliding? Have you checked your own heart? Have you checked your own heart? Is Jesus still your first love? Maybe tonight there's someone here, someone watching on Facebook, or someone listening to the podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me say this to you. Satan and sin are robbing you of more than the backslider is being robbed of. The backslider who knew and loved the Lord, God's word says it, He is married to them. They are His children. But if you're not a Christian, Satan and sin are robbing you of the salvation God has for you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to continue to let Satan rob God of glory and rob you of forgiveness of sin and everlasting life? There is forgiveness with God for you. Watch out. There's a thief about. Is Satan robbing you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that this word, Lord God, is scary. We don't think, Lord God, of how scandalized you are by backsliders. And yet, Lord, you have even told us in the same book in Revelation that people, Lord God, whose love is lukewarm, it's neither hot nor cold, they actually make you sick. You say, Lord God, that you spew them out of your mouth. Lord, please help the backslider tonight to realize that they are still children of God. And please, Lord God, help them to hear the Spirit of God call to them, return. Return, O my children. For I am married to you, says the Lord. And may they leave the world and the sinful pleasures of the world and run to your everlasting arms, Lord God, where you will receive them again and bless them, please. And Lord, I pray for any of us, Lord God, who have allowed our love for you to grow cold. Any of us who have allowed Satan or sin to take our eyes off Jesus. Lord, please forgive us and let us fix our eyes on Him again, our first love. We ask tonight, Lord, also for those who are not yet saved, that you would help them to see there is a thief about. That thief, Satan, is robbing them of the forgiveness of sins that you're offering to them, of the full and wonderful salvation that can be theirs tonight in Jesus Christ, your Son, if they will only repent and believe in Him. Father, please move in the power of your Spirit and convict people of this truth so that Satan will rob them no longer and they will come, Lord God, to you humbly through faith in Jesus and be brought into your kingdom and be secure in your eternal love. In Jesus' name, amen.